unbuckle your seatbelt. Let's talk about bugs that are snacks on this big adventure and praise the overlooked GPU that makes it all possible with our main man, Reagan, because we are on the road to greatness. I am your host, Kyle Stevenson, a.k.a. Mr. K-Step, and as always, I am joined on this never-ending road trip called life with my best friend, Mr. Joseph Moran, a.k.a. Mr. Badbit. Tonight's destination is Astro's Playroom, Sackboy, A Big Adventure, Bug Snacks, and Call of Duty Cold War. Joseph, did I just blow your mind with how I melded all those things together in the intro?
Honestly, listen, I feel like that intro was worth the entry fee. That was perfect.
Everyone, up your Patreon to the platinum tier just for that one.
Seriously, oh my goodness. We don't pay this man enough or at all, you know. I'm doing good tonight, man. I'm doing real good. I got a question for you before we get into it, because we got a lot of games to talk about.
We do.
A lot of it's just our impressions of, for the most part. But the launch of the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Bigger than we expected in terms of the games we're getting, the quality of them.
Yeah, I was about to say, not the quantity for sure, as when it comes to like how many we're actually playing at launch. Yeah. But yeah, the quality alone is unbelievable. I'm sure this will be in the main show at some point, but like PS5 launch is one of the best launch lineups of all time.
Ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think's better than this?
See, it's hard for me to think of another one, honestly.
It's kind of the best, and we're all just kind of scared to say it.
I think the only hang up that some people might have is like
some of the games are on PS4 as well.
Not even that, but like looking at the older systems, like when I go all the way back to like NES, it came with Super Mario Brothers, which is one of the greatest games ever.
Right.
And Nintendo 64, Super Mario 64, they go like hand in hand. But right. Like this has so many quality titles on the PS5.
Yeah, I think for, and I mean, like, you could also make the argument for the Switch because of Breath of the Wild.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I think then this is on the par with a Nintendo launch.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Because I don't think there's been a PlayStation launch that's come close to this.
Yeah. I can't think of it on the top of my noggin. And, like, on the other hand, and I know this is going to sound very fanboyish, but, like, this is one of the worst launch lineups for an Xbox. It's just not good.
Yeah.
I've been, it's crazy how like, I bought both the consoles, so I get to say that. And secondly, show me your gamer card. But like, I got the PS5 as a gift and I was able via trade-ins for the Series X, it costs like $10. So it amazes me how much more I'm playing my PlayStation 5 than my Xbox Series X. Mm-hmm. And it's strange because they've been pushing power so much that like I'm on my Xbox Series. I'm playing Gears of War 5 and I don't know the difference than what I'm playing on the Xbox One version. And when it comes to the PlayStation 5, like you take a look at the side by sides of miles on PS4 to PS5, like it's telling, you know? It's just been, I'm already got my $500 worth for this console.
Yeah, for sure.
Just, I've had a ball with it. You know?
Yeah, and speaking of getting your money's worth, is all due to all four of these games, including some others that we aren't talking here, like Miles Morales and Demon's Souls and AC Valhalla.
Miles is already, that was our first one.
Mm-hmm.
Demon's Souls is coming. We're just trying to figure out a way how to tackle that.
Yeah.
But that should probably be next week. And then we got Cyberpunk. Jesus Christ, we got Cyberpunk.
Boy. But yeah, let's get into, since we have four games we're talking about on this leg of the journey on the road to greatness. Okay. Let's start with the one that you want to talk about first before we deep dive into, I think, the ones that we both played. I want you to talk to me about Ronald Reagan and his dirty deed of gangsters going to war.
Yeah. Keep on going.
Nope, I'm done.
Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. The title is a mouthful, man.
Yeah.
What a bad title. Where do we put the separator there? But that said, I got to be real with you guys. You know, last year's Modern Warfare, a lot of revisionist history there because it's Call of Duty, of course, and U.S. is always a good guys. But I will say this. I loved Modern Warfare's story. all the little misgivings that they have there. I really did dig the story of Modern Warfare. And for the multiplayer, I really enjoyed it as well. And then I fell off by the time December happened. I don't know really what happened. Just, it didn't grip me as much as I thought it would. Mm-hmm. But I did think it was a return to form for Call of Duty in a good way. Call of Duty Cold War is the exact opposite, where the story is really bland. It's by the numbers. Ronald Reagan is in it for literally a scene. All the levels is just shooting gallery after shooting gallery of like typical Call of Duty stuff. It really does harken back actually to the Modern Warfare 2 mm-hmm. back in, I think, what, 20 or 2009, I would like to say, or 2008, one of the two. Where it's not doing anything
2009.
All that spectacular. 2009?
Mm-hmm. I nailed it.
There are some like really cool moments, but the one thing that I hate that, you know, shooting games do or action games like these are put stealth elements that I could totally break and not really give a shit about, and the mission doesn't go awry because of it. There's a lot of that here, mm-hmm. Because we're supposed to be covert and some of the AI are just complete dummies. And yeah, it's just kind of feels samey. Now they do one thing. They try to give you options to your dialogue, and that does give you some choice within the story. And there's also some optional missions that return from Infinite Warfare. But overall, none of it really hits well. You're a silent protagonist, so I don't know. Like, I would have loved if I have a selection, like I press A, I actually hear the character talk.
Oh, you don't.
That would maybe, you don't.
Oh.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a bummer.
And the optional missions, I'm just not a fan of. That said, though, we get to the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm having so much fun. I don't know what it is, what this game does differently than its predecessor, but the maps, for the most part, are all really solid. They're all a lot of fun. The weapons in the game, and I think that's where really this whole thing takes home. They shoot really well, and I think it's all due to the adaptive triggers, because mm-hmm. weapons shoot, Kyle, like Nerf guns. Like, I'm using an M16, and if I just wanted to press down, you have that little bit of tension like a Nerf trigger, and then when you're holding it down, the trigger will actually fight with you.
Ooh.
It'll actually give the sense of recoil.
That's cool.
Which is, yeah, it's really nice. And I think what Cold War does as well is it gives me the ability of hopping in, and I think it gives the strength to submachine guns and regular, like, you know, long guns, which are the type of playstyle I prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think I'm really jiving with it. But honestly, I'm surprised that Call of Duty's got its hooks in me like it did when I was in high school again. So I'm really digging it. I'm still not digging the names that are in the game, Kyle.
I saw. What a disgrace.
Call of Duty's trying to.
Wow. Was that PlayStation name? Was that a PC name?
I don't
know.
No, it's a PC name.
Oh,
it's a PC
okay.
name.
I mean, I figured. Don't think Sony would allow something like that on there.
No, and so Activision's trying to crack down on those types of folks that give very toxic usernames. And like, it was really, that one actually killed the mood of the night for me.
Yeah.
Cause I got very, very pissed off of how that name was there. But again, Call of Duty trying to crack down on toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a huge fee for them because they've allowed it for so long.
Absolutely.
To run rampant there. So again, I'm digging the game, all things considered. I'm really enjoying it.
Would you consider, for someone that hasn't played Call of Duty for a while now, like me, do you think me hopping on and getting Cold War would be like a, wow, Kyle, this is what you've been missing? Because the last, I think, Call of Duty game I played from start to finish might have been Infinite Warfare. So it's been a few years.
It depends on what type of Call of Duty gamer you are, which is weird to say.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's so many subcategories. So, just to bring light, I didn't play Zombies because I'm not a Zombies person.
Oh, excuse me. Advanced Warfare is the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It has been a while.
It's been a while.
So for me, I haven't played Zombies, but I know hearing from the Zombies community, it seems like people are really happy with what they've gotten with Zombies. If you're a multiplayer Call of Duty player, which most people are, it also depends on if you were a Modern Warfare Call of Duty person or a Black Ops Call of Duty person, because those games do have slight changes to them that really do amount to big changes overall.
Gotcha.
In the way that they feel. So it really does come down to, do you like the Treyarch games or do you not like the Treyarch games? And that will kind of depend on your taste.
Okay. Here on The Road to Greatness, we give every game a trophy level. Bronze, silver, gold, or platinum. Where would you rank Cold War on this?
I definitely think it depends, but I think if you want a good multiplayer game, I'll give this a gold. I think you should go out and buy it. I don't think it, like, I don't give it the strongest recommendation of, like, $70 is a lot of money.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, it really, if you're a big Call of Duty person, yeah, this is a gold, go get it. If you're a normal, like, well, I'm a little bored, I think it then leans a little bit to silver, and maybe you wait a little bit on a sale, but
okay.
Yeah, I think it's good enough to jump in.
Sweet. But you know what is so good to jump in, and the first thing I did on my PlayStation 5? Astro's Playroom. Oh, I've been so excited to talk about this, because even before we got our hands on the PS5, and we heard that this was going to be a pack-in with every PS5. It's already going to be downloaded on the system itself, being Astro's Playroom by a team of Sobi and Sony Japan, I believe. I'm like, this is going to be day one for me. I'll not play Miles until I finish Astro's Playroom, because, like, it's cute. It's a platformer. And everything I saw leading up to it was like, yeah, there's just going to be a love letter to PlayStation. And boy, is it ever, Joe. It is insane.
And I'm going to stop you right there for just a second, because as everybody knows, you are the true PlayStation fan here.
Sure.
I love PlayStation. It's a great ecosystem. But for the longest time, that's not where I laid my head. Like, as a kid, I was a Nintendo kid. In my tweens, I was an Xbox kid. It's not really until my late teens, early 20s, where I actually get into the PlayStation ecosystem. With the PlayStation 3, and really, that's where I lay my head at night. You are the PlayStation fan at birth.
Yeah. My question, I've been in a Fallout shelter with PlayStation for years.
For years. Is it really the love letter?
Do you feel
it in your bones?
Yeah. Oh, I feel it in my bones. everywhere you looked, there is little homages to old games. So, like, the Astrobots in this game are recreating scenes from a long line of old school PlayStation classics with a camera and everything. Basically, they're just, like, reenacting their favorite parts. And there are some games in there that I was like, oh, man, I haven't thought about this in a long time. And I was like, that's really, really cool. And all with this cute aesthetic to it, being the Astrobots, who are like they're building themselves up with Astrobot Rescue Mission and this one as being like a top tier video game mascot. I think they're in that category right now. And I saw, I think, on Twitter today as we were recording this, like, the creator of this is open to making a sequel and a more DLC to it, or like expanding on this because of the love and enjoyment of Astrobot games. But yeah, it has, like, the coins have the sacred symbols on it. It is you're literally playing inside of a PS5. The Labo section is like a history, a museum of PlayStation and everything that you've been able to play PlayStation with on. Like, it's
speaking of, like, if that's in a PlayStation 5, the PlayStation Labo, you're in the lawsuit that's waiting to happen.
Correct. With Nintendo. Correct.
Yeah. So run us through, because there's not really a plot to Astrobot. But what are we doing in this game?
You are basically going through the PS5 and its architecture. And it's really showing off what the PlayStation 5 can do. It's really a promotional thing more than ever. Oh my God.
What's a tech demo.
Thank you. I couldn't think of tech demo.
Gotcha.
And like the levels are the cooling spa,
cooling springs. Yeah.
Where it's all about how the fans are keeping this PlayStation cool and it's not going to be real hot, or the GPU jungle, which is one of my favorite things of just
ever.
Everything that the GPU can do for you, yep. And the GPU will tell you in that level because he sings you a song the entire time. Be like, stop overlooking me. I do everything for you because I love you, and show me some damn respect. Is pretty much what that song is saying. to the Speedway, I think is with the SSD Speedway.
Yep,
mm-hmm. Just showing how fast everything is fast. And then the last one is the beach. No, that's Cooling Springs.
That's cool.
What is the fourth one? I am blanking on.
It's the cloud one. It's the cloudiness.
Sure.
I think it's. If you got the GPU, then I think it's the CPU. Mm. I forget because I wasn't the biggest fan of that one.
Yeah, I mean
that one felt like a straight up like a Sega Dreamcast game, which some people would get really down on, like, "Oh, this is my jam." But for me, I'm like, "Eh, nah."
There's a CPU Plaza, which is the hub world.
That's the hub world.
Oh God!
That's where you go to select all the levels.
Yes,
you got the Cooling Springs. That is one of the levels.
My monitor was just flashing like it. I couldn't read it for a second.
Memory Meadow.
Is the other one? Yeah.
And then you had the cool thing that I don't do, which is the speed runs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Which, yeah. I've seen Jeff Grubb is on a goddamn tear. God.
I've tried to recreate what Jeff does, and I can't do it. It makes me mad. but yeah, so this
Someone's
is just
better at me than a platformer.
This is literally straight up platforming. Like Joe said, there's no story to it. Mm-hmm. You're just going through and just showing off what the PlayStation 5 can do, and collecting artifacts, which are like old PlayStation peripherals and hardware and stuff. So like the Move controllers, there's the player tap where you can like do four players. That was a PS1 thing.
Yeah.
The iToy, which is the earliest PlayStation camera. The PSVR is one of them. And
you have the six axis.
Yeah. At the end of each one of these four, you unearth one of the main consoles. And like in the background is the OS and the operating system. It's really, really fun.
And when you collect them, they go into the museum, which is the PlayStation Labo.
Yeah, which you can interact with them, and they're just everywhere. And the coins you collect, you can go to, I believe they call it a gacha machine, which I think is what they're called in Japan. And it's literally those machines in the supermarket where you put in a quarter, and it comes out like a little toy in this plastic little bubble. And in that will add to the Labo of just these little scenes and stuff, which also have PlayStation nods and cameos and stuff like that. So it is 100% all PlayStation. It is a damn good platformer. Like, it has to be fun to play, and it's fun to play.
Yeah. The one cool thing that I like about Astrobot is how it utilizes the DualSense controller.
Yeah.
I think, like, when we're talking about why is it a tech demo, like, why is it a platformer, it's really showing you what the controller is capable of and what the haptic feedback's all about. So, like, the first level really does show you in the first 5 minutes, like, this is what this controller can do.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you're stepping on the CPU plaza. He's got little metal feetsies, Mr. Astrobot, right? Mm-hmm. So, when he's stepping on the metal ground, you're feeling little dings on the controller, and you're hearing it through the 3D sound, through the Tempest sound. And then when you're in this, the Cooling Springs, which I think is one of the best showcases of what this thing can do, you get hit in the sandstorm.
Yeah.
Trying to cross it, and you feel the sand hitting the controller, and you feel like rocks are hitting the controller. Because the one thing that, you know, we always mistake Rumble for is just it's shakes or more shakes. And this is way more accurate and precise feelings, sensations, more than just rumbles. Mm-hmm. And I think the coolest part there is every level you take control of, like a giant robot or a mech that will show you, like, or give you one of the gimmicks of what this controller can do. So there's a springy frog robot that you press down on the RB button with, or R2 button, sorry, and strike. That's one tally. That's one tally. Like you're pressing the R2 button with, and it actually feels like it's a spring.
Yeah.
You're like, since it's a springy robot and it's hopping along, you're actually feeling the tension. And when you're releasing it, it releases the spring. It feels really good.
My favorite DualSense thing that they show off in this is in GPU Jungle, is when you hop into the monkey suit. And you're basically rock climbing, and you have to, you still have to use the motion controls to, sway back and forth to move your monkey and aim for the grips. But there are some grips where you have to lightly press on the trigger. If you hold too hard, it will break it. And just the precision on that trigger to, if you think you're pressing just a tad bit too much, you are, and it will break. You know exactly how far you have to go. It's minuscule. So cool. It's so tiny.
And you actually feel a little shake in the trigger.
Yeah.
And then when you break, if you grip on it too hard, you'll actually... the trigger will do the snapping sensation. Yep. You're like, fuck. I messed that up. Yeah, it's super cool, man.
Yeah, for sure.
It's super cool. My question for you, because there's over 60, count them, 60 appearances or nods to PlayStation mascots.
Yep.
Which one was your favorite? Light spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
Big spoilers here.
There's again, it's not a story thing. It's just whatever. I have quite a few because I'm blown away by all these. I love the Astro Bot dressed like Lara Croft as Tomb Raider.
Yes.
That one was cool. Joel and Ellie hiding from a clicker. That was freaking awesome.
That was freaking cool as shit, yeah.
My two favorites, or three favorites, and I'm not even a fan of Metal Gear, but running into that box and hitting them.
Hilarious.
Because you have to punch them to interact with them. They'll give you a little bit more. You just punch the box and the little exclamation point, and that's...
Yeah, the little exclamation point pops up, and you see, he has a little gun on his hand. He's like, what?
There's actually another one, another Konami game, actually. Mm. There's a coffin that you interact with, and it's Dracula from Symphony of the Night, or Alucard.
That's... Okay. Okay, that's why.
Who spins around. That was pretty cool. But my main two, and one doesn't really do much, is just seeing the Buster Sword from Final Fantasy VII in this game, and just all the astrobots be like, oh, look at it. And it looks like the title screen from the game, which is cool. But my favorite, Joe. My favorite is one of the things you get in the gacha machines.
Oh.
It is a... Okay. Two favorites, man. I keep thinking of it. It's been a while. It's an astrobot playing with blocks, in the lava on the floor. I'm like, oh, that's weird. That's interesting. And then when you look at what blocks they are, it's neck. He's playing with a disassembled neck.
No way.
The same colors as neck, the same shapes or whatever. I was like, that's great attention to detail. I love that. Mm-hmm. The other one is when you look into the PSVR labo, the one that's this giant PSVR unit in the labo museum.
Yeah.
If you look at the serial number, it's Shuhei's last name.
Really?
It's Shuhei Yoshida with numbers and stuff. Yes. Huh. Give the love, all the love to Shuhei. Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for me, I had four. You took two instead of a gun. But yeah, the Joel and Ellie one, of course. The Metal Gear Solid one is cute. I love, of course, you know me, Bloodborne's in it. And he's slicing and dicing with the saw cleaver, which I absolutely adored. And then the Horizon Zero Dawn one as Aloy. Because they're creeping through the tall grass to shoot at stuff. And it's just I don't know. There's something about it that I absolutely love. But there was so much there. There's also a Devil May Cry one.
Yeah.
With the two fighting there. So
I believe there's Jill from Resident Evil. There's, obviously Nathan Drake hanging from a ledge or climbing on yellow things on the side of the jungle. There's 60 and every level is filled with them. Just Kratos and Atreus just chilling on a boat in the first level.
And they're first ones that you see, too. Mm-hmm. It kind of brings you into what you're about to witness here with Asher. Yeah. What was your favorite level? Because I know there's only four.
Yeah. But
again, each I one of them are fantastic.
I'm with you on this one. It's GPU Jungle.
Just for the song, right?
Just for the song. And it's the GPU in the sky, like the sun, and he's singing a song. I have the lyrics right here. I will read the whole lyrics for you.
Yeah.
Look at the light. It falls just right. My shadows, they please beneath the trees. But none of these things happen for free. Yeah, all that you see rendered by me. I synthesize and rasterize immaterial things that I fabricate for you. For you. Yes, I tessellate and animate these dancing sprites and sunlit skies for you. I do it for you. I'm your GPU. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it for you. You've never wondered why I catch your eye. It's because you overlook all the choices I took. I spend all my time deceiving and misleading you. I like to surprise with my virtual lies. And then it just keeps going on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. And so you can actually uncover the lyrics in that level. Like, you break open a rock wall.
Yep.
And they're written for you, too, which is fantastic.
Because they knew they had a fucking slapper on their hands,
they did.
Man. They knew it. They're like, Bucksnacks, hold our beer. We're going to show you what a real snog
for
song
sure.
sounds like. Yeah. I really dug this game, and it gave me a lot of Mario Odyssey vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me just enough of those vibes. Because for me, I'm not the biggest Mario Odyssey fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big Mario kid anymore. But like for me, Odyssey was a special experience for the Switch to a degree. And I think that's where this game also did really well. Like for, you know, the hardware team to make something so special here, it really gave me Mario vibes of like, yeah, this, you know, give me more of this. Give me more games where it's Astro running around bonking people on the noggin, because I really do feel like with the next game we'll give our impressions of in this is that if PlayStation really wants to, I think they really could make a really good Mario competitor. Not killer, of course, but Mario competitor, because I think Astro Bot is the closest thing to Mario, to the throne that PlayStation's ever gotten.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think they have a gold mine when it comes to Astro. And to think what they can do on a non-VR Astrobot game, not solely based on PlayStation 5, but like do brand new original worlds and stuff, makes me very excited for the future of Astrobot.
The secret boss, the Ken Kutaragi tribute of the dinosaur.
Yes.
From the PS1. That was also really cool.
That was really nice.
And actually kind of tough because I suck at platformers.
Yeah, it's a tough battle for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because you only get like, what is it? You get like 3 hits and you're dead in that boss fight?
Yeah, as opposed to like you get hit once, you're done.
And so for me, you know, that's always difficult.
Yeah.
But I really loved it.
So this is easy for me when it comes to giving it a trophy level because it is a pack-in. You don't have to spend any extra money for it. This is an easy platinum, just because it is a, if you love PlayStation, you're going to love this game. It is a super fun platformer. The one thing I do want to highlight about it before we go is just how much my nieces enjoyed this game.
Yeah.
And loved watching me. Like I made a joke, not even really a joke. Like I demanded my family, like, listen, my PlayStation comes out November 12th. You, mom and dad, you guys got to go away, for a couple days, like a couple months ago. This is my time. Give me the next couple days. I've been waiting for this for years now. Just give me a couple days. Be by myself. Don't worry about me. I know how to eat and cook for myself, whatever. So just leave me alone. Tell the girls to just not come down here and bother me. Yeah. Within 2 minutes, they were down here as I'm playing Astros. Bothering the rest of the weekend, they're like, can we play the Astro game? I want to play the Astro game. And then me handing them the DualSense and being freaked out about the rumbles and the haptics like... They still ask about it, and it's been almost a month. And it just, they want to keep playing it because it's fun. It's just flat-out fun. So, easy platinum, especially if you have kids at home or young ones. Like, it's no-brainer.
Yeah. Same here. I think, I mean, not even, like, I would have paid for money for this
game. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know about a full 60, but I'm thinking a good 20, sure. And yeah, throwing it in here, again, even as, like, a not-big platformer guy that I am, I had a ton of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
I think this was my first platinum, if I'm not mistaken.
On PS5?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Miles was second.
I had to hold off on the platinum for this one because I had made a promise to everybody, Joe, that Bugsnax was going to be my 50th platinum. Okay. And boy, oh boy, it was. I did it. I'm now at 55 as of last night because I platinum Immortals. Sixth in the world. Nice. Right here.
Really?
Sixth in the world, baby. Bam. Yeah, there's no guides. There's no complete guides out. So, like, it's free Willy out there. PS4 trophies beat me. Brian from PS4 trophies beat me, and Tydix beat me, and a couple others I don't know. But but Bugsnax, free PS Plus game up until January, which is great. 2 full months of it being a free game. I know you were probably sick of me saying it on every episode of the show because I'm so excited. That song is super catchy, and I loved what I saw of it, being this weird, quirky thing of bugs that are snacks. So what are your thoughts about Bugsnax, Joe, before you ask me questions about it?
I do want to say this, because I jokingly detest Bugsnax.
Yes, right? As I also jokingly detest Bloodborne. I don't actually hate it.
Yes, and you know, admittedly, I played about 40 minutes of it.
Sure.
I get the appeal. I don't know if I'm going to go back to it, truth be told. But, like, from what I got the sense of, it's like it's a very deep story. The characters, their voice actors are just simply amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, they're selling me on their roles. Mm-hmm. And the gameplay mechanics of Bugsnax as well catches me because it very much, as a Nintendo kid, screams Pokemon Snap, where you're trying to get the best picture of these Pokemon. So you're going to toss them an apple here or there to get them to do the best, you know, pose so you can take a picture of them. Here it's to trap them. So it really does scream like an indie equivalent to Pokemon Snap. And before I ask you the question, what I fucking hate about this game is some people's reaction about this game. Like, there are just some people that are just like, it's stupid, and they just shit on it.
Oh.
You know, just poo-poo it.
Fuck them.
Like, I don't like the poo-pooing. Like, I tried it. I like it.
Yeah.
I jokingly kid with you. I hate the people that actually mean it, because it's just like, you're miserable.
Yeah.
Like, cool, this game may not be for you. Not every game's for everybody, but, like, to really just, like, outwardly use it to meme the PlayStation 5, I think is, these people spent 7 years on this game.
Yeah, and it's a small team. A little fucking respect
would be nice.
It's a small team. It's the people who made Octodad, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Young Horses is great. I love how when they have a vision for something, they stick with it.
Yeah.
And from visuals to gameplay to incorporate all the different influences when it comes to this game, where it'd be Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Snap, it'd be BioShock, it'd be all these other games that I can't think of off the top of my head. Yeah, they're all in it. All the influences are here, and it's pretty incredible they pulled it off.
You said BioShock is an inspiration.
Okay, so.
I'm gonna save that question for a second.
I'm gonna spoil this game. So if you haven't played it, if that's okay with you, Joe.
That's fine by me.
Okay. If you're listening to this and you haven't played it or beaten it to the end, because there's a very clear point where you need to get to, and you'll know it's the end, and from then on out, it goes absolutely batshit insane. So I'm letting you know that now.
Batshit insane.
Yes, Joe. So I'm going to tell you right now.
Get a gun?
Close.
What?
Pretty close.
It's like colonialism. Like the fucking British come in and just start throwing.
No, I saw a couple of that kind of criticism. No, they're on vacation. They're not.
Okay.
There's a reason why they haven't left yet. That gets into the
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They're strand. Okay. Well, okay. So you had enough time. What we're going to do, since we're going to talk about Sackboy last.
Yes.
Is in the description, there is a time in which you could come back. So.
Oh, you know what? That was smart. I should have thought of that before I jumped into Bugsnax.
No. So you have, listen, how many minutes did we say?
of me talking about bug snacks?
No, the spoiler warning. You have time. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you have time.
I gave it. There's a description.
Yeah,
it's literally right there.
Yep.
Okay, go spoil this game. What's it about? Why do I care? Why?
Okay.
What's the
first
whole
of
gist?
All before the end of the game? Why you should care about this game are the characters are flawless. The writing of this game, the performances by everyone is absolutely incredible. So like my favorite. My favorite characters are obviously Philbo, the wannabe mayor, who just wants everyone to love him. He's trying his best. He's in a tough situation where the real person that was leading this crew disappeared. That's Elizabeth, who is the one that in that intro video from the trailer is like, hey, come on out to Snacktooth Island. And like,
yeah,
the reason why you're there is to interview her. And she's gone and left Philbo, who no one really likes. They bully Philbo and he's just doing his best and wants to be liked by everybody. And the character arc of him just being himself without fail. Like him that, showing
now
the love.
He's voiced by Yuri Lowenthal,
yes,
right?
He's voiced by Yuri. Great. Just him sticking with it and not sure he has some down moments of like feeling sad that nobody likes him, but he keeps pushing through it and wants to be that positive person out there and keeps going. And like it's in the credits where you get to see where everyone is now, he actually does become mayor of a town outside of Snacktooth Island, which is really, really cool. But my other two favorites are Chanlo and Snorpy. And sure, the names are weird. I knew you were going to laugh at those. That's why I paused.
Which one did you know you got me? It was Snorpy.
Chanlo is this bodybuilding buff guy who's into sports. Okay. Right? And he has a buddy named Snorpy, who is the nerdy glasses and just all about like staying to himself, right?
Okay.
And you think they're just friends throughout the whole thing, and then they leave little hints that like maybe they're more than friends. And at the end of the game, before the point of no return, Snorpy is like basically saying, yeah, we've been like best friends for years, and you as a character are like just friends. And then he realizes like for the past 4 years they've been in a relationship, like a full-on relationship. And Chanlo goes like, buddy, I love you, like you're mine. And they have this embrace and loving thing. And Snorpy clearly on, I'm not gonna say clearly because I'm not sure, but like clearly some mental things going on, like maybe on the spectrum. So like it's that kind of like not understanding society social cues. Thank you. And so just for that whole story to wrap up that way, then you have Gramble, who just wants to help, the voiced by Sam Riegel from Critical Role, just wants to have the bug snacks and treat them and not eat them. Like he doesn't eat the bug snacks. And at some point during the night, Joe, he sleepwalks and you can feed him bug snacks during the night and like really mess with him. but yeah, the characters are great. But the ending is really the thing. So everyone gets together. You bring the town back together, right?
So yeah. So the whole point of this game is you solve these puzzles with these bug snacks because they're on this island. This is a special island.
It's not really
of
like
there.
Puzzles,
right?
Like some of these people want you to capture their favorite bug snack and give it to them. There are some side missions of like.
Oh, the side missions.
Catch me this certain bug snack. They're not super memorable. Like what you're doing, because it is really all the same, is using the different tools to capture bug snacks, like a Pokemon Snap when it comes to pictures. Like some like this certain fruit and will only get attracted to that. Sometimes you need to use one bug snack to catch another one, like lure them together so the easiest one I can think of is they're saying, God, you're going to laugh at every single one of these names I say.
Yeah.
There's a flaming Cheepoof, which is a flaming hot like Cheeto flying. He's an aerial creature. And you can lure a LaCroix bottle from the water out onto land, and then it will spit at anything that's on fire, like the flaming Chipoof. And it will spit at it and take the fire out, and then you can catch it. So, like, it's all about using...
How many bug snacks are there?
There's a lot. There's 100.
Wow. Okay.
There's a lot that are duplicate. Like, there's a lot of soda cans, different brands. But yeah, that's one thing I'll give credit for when it comes to the gameplay and catching them. You can do it your own way. They can be caught in multiple different ways. So, like, for that example of the LaCroix can taking out the fire of the Chipoof, that's how I did it. I know. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry, everyone listening, for the names of these bug snacks. But, like, Kelsey and Mike, who played it over at 6-1 Indie, both did it in other ways. So, like, there's multiple ways to capture them. You need to use your tools and figure out a plan of attack. But yeah, you're doing all that, you're getting the town back together, and then at some point you find where Elizabeth is and Egabel, her girlfriend.
So what I'm gathering is the story is like you literally crash on this island. You're trying to find this lady because you're a reporter.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She's missing, and the town has separated because there's a lack of leadership. And everybody's kind of trying to do their own thing. So the whole main mission is trying to find her.
Yeah, there was a big fight about how they are using the bug snacks, and they didn't all agree, and then they all went their separate ways. And then, the beginning point is it's just Philbo living in the town by himself.
You're trying to fill out the town with people.
You're trying to get everybody back to help in the search for Elizabeth and Egabel, her girlfriend, who also went missing, looking for her. So at some point you find the entrance to the Undersnacks, which is the final level. And basically the whole world is bug snacks. The world is made of bug snacks. And I'm going to read this straight from the fandom page so I don't get this wrong.
There's a fandom page. Okay, you got me. I'm all ears.
Of course there is. So you're going to find... Oh, that creepy little Sasquatch-looking thing from the trailer. The thing that was made of everything. That is Elizabeth in the game. She is doing that to keep tabs on everyone, make sure everyone's safe. While she's trying to figure out how to deal with this bug snack problem. Because... she reveals that bug sacks are an insidious parasite species that prey upon the insecurities of unsuspecting grepuses, inevitably transforming them into more bug sacks before their consciousness fades and they disassemble into individual bug sacks. So all the bug sacks that this world is made of are other visitors that got taken over by the parasitic bug sacks.
Oh, no.
And you're eating other people.
Holy shit.
The fate of any and all previous Grumpus inhabitants of Snacktooth Island, which is itself a gargantuan pile of endless bug snacks. Somehow, despite countless bug snacks force feeding themselves to a helpless Elizabeth, who had fallen into the Undersnacks after an earthquake separated her and Egabel, Elizabeth defiantly held onto her sense of self and forced the bug snacks to turn into her rather than the other way around. Egabel then stumbles on the scene. Elizabeth's like, go save yourselves, to the player, to Philbo, and to Egabel, her girlfriend. And Egabel's like, no, I'm not going anywhere without you. And purposely gets eaten by this monstrosity so she can stay together with her true love and not be away from her. And then you basically get thrown out of the volcano because you're in the volcano. That's the end of the main thing that everyone's worried about. You get blown up top, you get back in the village, and now it's your job to save all the other Grumpuses' lives because the Bugsnax know what's up now, and they're trying to kill everybody. So you are now using all the tools that you've used to capture Bugsnax to actively kill and destroy all the Bugsnax and save your friends. So like slingshot that would shoot the ketchup and chocolate to lure things. You're just slingshotting and killing all these bug snacks going after your friends. Or it goes straight into, I gotta save everybody and we gotta get the fuck out of here. And then you basically, they fix the airship and that you crash landed on. You cannot save everybody and your friends can die in the final mission. One of the trophies is you have to make sure everyone survives.
So whoa! So they just I told Mass you, Effect 2 you.
It goes places, Joe.
This is the Mass Effect suicide mission, but yeah. with snacks.
Yeah, so I know I'm going on and on about this game, but...
No. You have me fucking enthralled. Remember when I'm like, I don't think I'm going back to it. Now,
yeah.
you got me like...
You gotta see the end of it. You have to see the end of it.
Dude, I'm thinking like you're Arnold at the end of Predator or something, you know? You're John Rambo.
And I'm straight up glossing over it because there's a lot that... There's foreshadowing this entire game from all your character interactions of this exact point happening. Like someone saying, like, what if the volcano blows up and erupts? We're all dead. And yeah, that happens. So basically, if you save everyone, you get to the airship. You're trying to take off, but the Bugsnax are still coming after you. And then out of the ground comes Elizabeth and Egabel, joined together, beating off the Bugsnax as you can get away. As the volcano... destroys them in front of your eyes as they're waving goodbye to you, and you basically destroy Snacktooth Island.
Yeah,
and you get back to the beach and you check in with everybody that survived. If you let everyone survive, yeah. and they're like, "Oh, maybe I can get back to my former life," and everyone's happy. The credits roll. They all stay friends. They're all you see what they're doing outside of it. Like one of them is a paleontologist, and she's off doing. Paleontology work and yeah. whatever they do. There's the doctor, the researcher, the weird one. She's off doing technological things. Chanlo and Snorpy are living their best lives together. Philbo, like I said, is a mayor. But then here comes the kicker, where there might be a sequel, Joe.
Oh my god!
Because at the end, you go back to the office.
Okay.
Where the newswoman, you could play this part. She's the one that sent you on this case to Snacktooth Island. You show up and she's like, you know what? I don't want it anymore. You're fired. And she fires you and storms out. And then she calls a mysterious person. And she's like, oh, they made it back alive. I messed up. Our mission failed. And I'm not a Metal Gear Solid fan. But there's a Metal Gear Solid reference where they do the lolly lo lay lu thing with like the secret code to each other. Like there's a Bugsnax Illuminati. People are like and they're like, okay, on to the next one. Let's activate whatever the code name was. And the last shot is the boat or the airship, and out comes a little Strabby. So there's one Snacktooth left. And now he's on the mainland. And so I'm guessing that that Bugsnax is going to infiltrate the real world now. And
right. We might have a possible Akira situation.
I haven't seen Akira, so I don't know.
I saw it when I was 7. That was a huge mistake for a 7-year-old.
But yeah, it seems like there's a larger Grumpinati at large.
Grumpinati!
Which is what they call it in the game.
Oh my god, that is great.
So yeah. You also only get that if you saved everybody, by the way.
So when you're about to save everybody, is there like a loyalty mission like in Mass Effect? That's how you do it? Or you have to like it's based on your skill.
It's based on your skill of using each tool and how to save them. Because they're each off in pairs. So you're running through the burning village of all these houses you've tried real hard to get back together. Are now destroyed and overrun, and you have to save them from each group of Bugsnax coming in. Here is what the little secret voice at the end, what they're saying, instead of the Lalu Lelu Lo thing. The mysterious voice says, "You are what you eat," and then Clumby replies with, "All life comes from Bugsnax." So it's very creepy. They're up to some shit. And Snorpy is actually
Jurassic Park vibes.
Yeah, Snorpy is actually the one that believes in Grumpinati. He's like a conspiracy theorist, so he knew he was right all along.
Oh god!
Oh, I love this game.
Yeah, I can tell.
Because I was not expecting that level of craziness. I thought I was just going to collect Bugsnax and have a great old time. Whatever,
nice and wholesome.
But my nieces watched me play the end of that game, and they were just like, "Kai Kai, what's happening?" I'm like, I can't talk right now. I don't want to ruin your night. It's fine.
People are dying. It is mayhem.
All those cute bugs are from other people. We've been eating other people this entire time.
Oh my goodness. Okay, Kyle.
Yeah.
No, we're out of the spoilers.
Yeah.
we had our fill here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. If you came back, I'm even giving it a platinum rating now. I think I'm going to give this game a shot. How long is it?
I got the platinum in 10 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's a shorter experience.
It's a shorter. I could have gotten it quicker, but some of the bug snacks are hard to capture. Like, it took me forever to do that example with the LaCroix can chilling off the Flamin' Cheapoof.
Okay. So, 10 hours. Story is about, like what? How long? Like, six?
Yeah. But, like, you can't really escape the story doing everything.
Right. Okay. And no multiple playthroughs?
You don't have to. There is that clear point of no return where you can... That is where it brings you back after you beat the game. So you can go back and capture all the bug snacks you missed and do all the side stuff in case you need to get any of those trophies that you may have missed.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, what would you give this on a trophy score?
I'd give it a platinum. I do really love this game. I can see why people who have played it, it might not gel with you. It is a little... Sometimes it can be a little difficult to control. Some of the traps are kind of frustrating to use at times. But I think overall, the charm, the way these characters are written and performed blew me away. Honestly, blew me away. I think it's an easy game, and it's free for the next month until January. Okay. Like, add it to your library, even if you don't play it right away. If you're seeing like a little lull in games and you have time for a 10-hour game, do it.
Okay. Honestly, I think this might be our Christmas break game. That's what I'm kind of thinking.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm feeling it right now. What you're telling me. Unless Cyberpunk takes my whole life away from me. Who knows?
You might need a break from Cyberpunk and from Night City and hop on a plane over to
Second Honestly, Island. From what you told me, the story might be more bonkers in this game. That's nuts. All right.
Yeah.
Now, okay. One PlayStation 5 game down. Mm-hmm. Let's turn to the other one here.
Yeah, the last one we're going to talk about. Sackboy, a Big Adventure.
So, here's my trouble. Not with the game. It is with Sony's really bad smart delivery non-existent
feature. Sure. Yeah.
I played half of this game not knowing or going, oh, this feels weird. I have no vibration. Game doesn't look all too impressive. I was playing the PS4 version.
That happened to me with Bugsnax as well.
Happened with me with Bugsnax. I downloaded the PS4 version, and it's hard to tell the difference because let's be honest about that game. not a graphical showpiece, you know? So we didn't get to beat this game. I would love to beat this game.
I'm on World 2.
I'm on World 2 now as well. But that said, Kyle, you're the big platformer guy.
Mm-hmm.
I am not. I like a good easy platinum. Or not platinum, sorry, platformer.
Platformer, yeah.
Because that gives me a reasonable amount of challenge.
Sure, yeah.
That I'm accustomed to.
Uh-huh.
So, Kyle, my question for you, sir, what are your thoughts on Sackboy? Because... as a Nintendo kid, I know what this game feels like. What does this game feel like to you?
It feels like a Mario 3D world.
Have you played Mario 3D World?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, we're going to have a conversation here. it is definitely Mario 3D
World. From the camera angles to how Sackboy feels jumping around. Yeah. It's like pretty close to a 1v1 recreation.
1-to-1.
1-to-1, thank you. 1v1. They're just fighting in the streets.
1v1 means Sackboys.
Sackboy Mario's like, ha! Yeah, it's pretty close to that if you're thinking of gameplay and just visually. It's pretty great, though.
It really is.
Yeah.
Like, Sumo Digital, congratulations. Y'all did a fantastic job. So, okay. Pretty much the story is your standard fare.
Sure.
You're in Craft World. Everything's great. Everything's dandy. You're in a town with other sack people, sack folk, they call them.
Yep.
And then this evil villain Vex comes in. Mm-hmm. He's an evil, like, jester-looking puppet guy, and he pretty much sucks up all your friends into this vortex and is about to suck you up as well, but you escape with his master plan with this spaceship rocket ship, and you blast off, and your mission is to dismantle the evil Vex machine, find out what Vex wants, stop him.
Yeah.
And find out the creation of you, Sackboy. That said, Kyle, very much is Mario 3D World inspired in the terms of how the levels are laid out. They're linear, but they're more wide. There's little secret paths you can take that give you to little mini games or just little secret areas. So you can get like cosmetics to pimp your Sackboy out. And it's kind of presented in these wide sections rather than this big open world. That's why we say it's more of a 3D world vibe to it. I want to know your thoughts of it though. How do you like the levels? How do you like the crafted aesthetic? Cause this very much feels like this game's stitched together. And this, its lineage is from Little Big Planet, you know?
It is, straight up what I wanted Little Big Planet to be all along.
Yeah. Same here, yes.
I understand Media Molecule wanting to have the creation tools, and people have run with that and made incredible things.
Yeah.
But I want a thing made from people that are know what they're doing when it comes to platforming, and it all gel together and all be cohesive visually, aesthetically, everything. And this is that. There's tons of levels in each world. There are even like hidden things within each one, like you were saying. They're not too long either. You can play a couple in like 30 minutes and totally be satisfied if you want to do it that way.
Honestly, you could be like, if you wanted to beeline it, you could beeline an entire level in under 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
There's worlds. There's five worlds you could go to. But like, since there's just so many secrets and like little like bonuses, if you like don't die in a level, that like I'm seeing myself keeping on replaying each level to get all the things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but continue.
Yeah, I mean it's a great feeling platformer. It is. Yeah. I'm not frustrated at all, and if I am frustrated, it's because I'm being too impatient. I need to slow down. That's on me. That's not the game's fault. And I just, every world, I love the whole vibe of Little Big Planet. I always have, of Sackboy and it all being stitched together and being like homemade stuff. And when you, like in this game on PS5, it's stunning. Like when you look at Sackboy and you can see the frays on the end of the yarn that Sackboy is made out of, like, holy crap. everything looks so good. I really enjoy the musical levels. Shocked me to no end.
Right?
Like, there's a whole Bruno Mars Uptown Funk level. Funk? Like, how'd they pull that off?
Yeah, like, dude, there are just some I'm just like, what is this? This is a copyright song. Like,
you
mentioning it, I think we're going to get copyright. We're not at, Kyle, and spoilers to both you and I. I found out, shout out to MinMax, they're the folks that found this out. There is a Britney Spears Toxic level.
No.
How do they do this?
I need to find that level right now.
Yeah. It is. It's awesome. And like each scene has just some incredible music to it. So like each level, what it does, like for example, the Bruno Mars one, like it'll play Uptown Funk, but let's just say you're taking your time with it. The music just doesn't stop. It'll find a place to perfectly loop it.
Yeah.
So that you're still getting the same.
The lyrics stop. The music part will stay the same.
Yeah. And it'll just loop at a certain part and you're like, okay. So you're still like in the mood, like nodding your head to it. That's what happens with all the music. So if you want to beeline it, you get that, or like even speedrun it, you actually get this like, this nice song out of it. Or if you want to go at your pace, you have this nice little like thing that you're jiving with, you're vibing to. And I really dig that. Like there's a level I just did where it was like Spanish themed. And now you know me, right? So I'm hearing like, you know, Spanish singers in the background. I'm hearing the little, I forget what they're called, But they're these little like things that look like clams, and you kind of you clap them together. I forget what they're called, but it's giving me like the flamingo vibe that I know that my family plays all the time when you know the weekend hits. Like I was digging it, and at the same time giving me this like modern like bass like undertones to it. That it was just so it got me in the mood. I didn't want to finish the level because I was just enamored with the song.
Yeah, like you were saying before, like the story is not going to really blow you away. Yeah. There are some good, funny moments. Mm-hmm. Like I was trying to look it up while you were talking there. The mama monkey. The world at World Two, she calls her babies what again? She calls them by a silly name, and I can't remember where, and I can't find it.
I just did the opening level. I forget. My favorite person so far I've met is Zoom Zoom.
Zoom Zoom's cool.
Zoom Zoom is dope. It's like my name is Zoom Zoom, and I'm like, oh, you're cheery. I like you.
Go ahead.
And like, there's even those old missions where you're in like Zoom Zoom's because he's the merchant that you're buying all the cosmetics from, but he also has these bonus levels because there's multiple currency, like the orbs you collect, so that like pretty much there's orbs in level that you run over, you get, and they just boost your score at the end of it. You want that gold trophy at the end of each level. And then they have bells, and bells are the currency that carry on after the level's over that you buy your currency from. Zoom Zoom will have levels where it's all about just collecting the bells. And it's like in like under 60 seconds. And just the shit that he's saying to you is just hilarious. And he's so full of himself. He's so cocky. And he's definitely like in it for the bells. That's his thing.
I can't find what she calls him. But she's Mama Monkey is her name. And she's very protective over her nanners. and you can't have Vex stealing all the nanners for her and her baby monkeys. So... just you taking them and throwing them in bowls for, I think is just really, really funny. And it's that kind of charm and humorous stuff that I really enjoy in this, along with the musical stuff that happens every once in a while.
Yeah.
And this game does a good thing. If you do want a challenge, they have those bonus, those little Rubik's Cube thing that you find.
They kick my ass.
I love them.
Oh, boy.
It harkens back to we didn't touch on it too much in Frasho's Playroom, but like the speedrun stuff, just that itch of wanting to do better and the high score feeling of, okay, I was off, I lost by like a second, I could probably make up that second somehow. Let me do a shortcut and jump a different way, and I'm loving those challenge levels.
I'm also loving the DualSense yet again on this game. Mm-hmm. Like it feels so. It just feels, it's more subtle than the rest of the games, but like when you're in like shrubbery, like when you're in high grass, like you feel the shake on the controller. When you lift things up, you have a sense of a grab. And then also the 3D sound, the Tempest sound here is also really impressive because you're hearing the footsteps alongside the haptic feedback in, you're hearing little crunches towards the bottom of your ears. Like Mark Cerny, shout out to him. He collected a lot of ears for this game.
I would like them back now, please, Mark.
Please, I need them. So, like, honest to goodness, I am enamored with this game. It is so cute. It is so cuddly. And as someone who misses Mario 3D World, which I can't wait to rebuy that when that comes out, I think in February.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see that there's another thing out there that does it on the same level that Nintendo can do it. Again.
For sure.
What we said prior still holds here. You know, PlayStation, I really think, has come to this point with their studios matured enough that they could really take on the behemoth. I don't know if take it on, like win, but, like, they could throw a couple of jabs in there now.
Yeah, they can, out of a 10-round fight, they can probably go a solid 8-9 rounds. They're almost there. They got a little bit more of a training to do, but it's close.
Yeah, it's getting there. So is there anything more you'd like to talk on about Sackboy that you dig?
Yeah, nothing right now, just because I'm still so early in the game. I will say I am bummed.
Tell me.
That special edition is only a PS4 version. And I understand you can put the PS4 disc in and you'll get the PS5, whatever. But, like, no. And also having all those special costumes locked on that deluxe edition, and I can't buy them separately yet.
I mean, you could buy the digital collector. Oh, but you want the physical.
I bought it physical, and like it's fine if it's like in the shop, whatever. And if you want to buy it, go ahead.
Right.
But it's not even there. So I'm bummed.
Because I was gonna say, what costume are you rocking? Since there is all about the customization.
Yeah.
I don't mess with the store. I already got the best thing. I got the Jin Sakai.
Yeah.
You know, Game of the Year Ghost of Tsushima look going on.
I want to be Deacon from Days Gone in this world. I've been rocking the Luchador. The Mexican wrestler, dude. It's awesome.
I was rocking a pinata.
Nice.
Which is great. Also, the thing I hate the most is the skin that I'm the best at is Connor from Detroit. Human. And I'm like, I fucking hate that. This game ain't great, but this game gives me good luck.
Is something with the Luchador, too, with the cape. The cape physics. Yeah. Just swing it around my neck at all times. Like, it doesn't stop sometimes.
Yep. That's definitely a glitch somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that was the same with the pinata. It has a little flare at the end of the ears, and it just flips around sometimes like crazy. Yeah. But there you go. There you have it. Kyle, since it's just our impressions, are you comfortable of giving this a trophy level?
I'm not yet. No.
Not yet? Okay. I would say it's on a good track.
Yeah.
So far. I feel like if you have kids, this is a must get.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It is in our platformer section for the best platformer of the year, and I feel like that is very much there for a reason. I think
absolutely it
is a competent platformer, and I can't wait to see if it stacks up against Astro Bot.
This isn't my own thought, but I saw Blessing Adeoye Jr. Mm-hmm. Kind of funny say this on Twitter.
We gave him his star, but continue.
Yeah. okay, Beast, you owe it all to us.
Yep.
He said,
I like how you sold it, like you bought into my bullshit for just a good second. But continue.
Where was it going? Oh, on the launch of PS5 weekend, he was like, to think that a little kid, first console experience, you're going to have Sackboy, A Big Adventure, and Astro's Playroom as like your first two platforms that you've ever played. Mm-hmm. What a lucky thing. What a monumental start to playing games with those two, because they are fantastic.
And I mean, even
like those are some kids' Mario 64s. Those will be some kids' Mario 64s.
And like for like maybe a little bit of an older kid, but I see Adam Leonard with his kid, like this kid's playing fucking Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
This kid looks like 3.5 and he's just doing great, better than his dad, which, okay, I believe it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like, to see that, like, yeah, the youths, I'll say, I think this is an amazing lineup for him, because you got those games there, and then you got, like, a Bugsnax, which now you're telling me there's a whole revelation there.
Yeah.
And then you got Miles Morales, like, you got a Spider-Man game, and, like, you're introducing them to a black superhero, like, that's fucking cool shit.
And then when the kids go to bed, the adults can play Demon Souls and kill demons. It's got everything.
You gotta teach that kid a new language when you're yelling, like, fuck this. Oh my goodness. That said, that's been the road to greatness.
Yeah.
Next week, we're gonna try our best. We're gonna try to cover Demon Souls. Because I'd like to talk about the story of that game, but it's an enigma.
Yeah.
And our experience is that. By that recording, I would have beaten it twice, maybe close to my third time.
Whew.
I'm getting that platinum by the end of the year.
You need 3 to get the platinum?
I messed up my first playthrough, but So before I end it, I play my first playthrough completely blind. I don't really want to know much. It's my mistake run. Then the second one is for realsies. I have a better idea of better grasp.
Okay.
Good friend Sin Vendetta, who gifted me the game, has given me a roadmap. He's like, you could theoretically platinum this by the time Cyberpunk comes out.
Okay.
So
sweet.
We're gonna run shop. We're gonna run some shit.
Yeah, so this has been Road to Greatness. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being a patron. We love and appreciate you. Like Joe said, our next stop will be Demon's Souls, and after that, it will be Cyberpunk 2077 as we drive into Night City. Will we make it out alive? Will we be the same person when we leave Night City? I don't know. Probably not.
Who knows?
But, yeah, strap yourselves back in. Enjoy the ride. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Drive responsibly.